Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning Ashare. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and the Zecher Nishmasa Merim Frod, Merim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we will share together this evening. We thank her family very, very much for their dedication to this year and the schus that they bring of being Marbitzei Torah, which will bring schusim for them for good health and only simchas. So the past couple weeks we spoke about Hanukkah because we were learning on Hanukkah, so I felt that it was most appropriate to spend some time related to our shir, related to our learning in Yani Deyom Hanukkah. Hanukkah is over. 1 second, please. It's not for now. No, thank you. It's for a different one. Thank you. So now we are going to go back to the Sefer, okay? So on page 232, if you have the Sefer, if not, I will be reading it. We are finishing up the chapter called Unconditional Love, and we are towards the end of the Sefer, where we are talking about Ahavas Hashem, love of God, which is one of the highest madrigos, one of the highest levels with which a Jew can serve the Ribono Shel Olam, to love God through all times in life, the easy times, the challenging times, the pleasant times, the difficult times. Okay, so we are going to the Sefer, page 232. Conditional love could exist towards Hashem and not towards people, because one only loves someone who gives to him. So conditional love means you love on the condition of someone gives you something and you receive. He receives from Hashem, not from people, so he loves only Hashem. So clearly, I think that there is some degree of love between people which comes from giving and taking when someone gives. In fact, the root word of ahava is hav, which is to give. So I'm not sure why he writes that we don't receive from people, only Hashem. Perhaps ultimately everything we get is from God. Even when someone is the shaliach to give us something, it is from Hashem. But certainly we do have love between people because people give to us, we receive, and it involves a feeling of love. The ultimate giver is Ribono Shel Olam, and he is the one who is no saint to all. But when one feels love for the Creator because of the sense of unity with him, if you remember from probably a couple of months ago, Yisrael or Raisa Kedusha Brichu Chadhu, that Israel and Torah and God are one, and we spend time speaking about, based on the Sefer, not only love for Hashem, but love of fellow Jew. If we are all connected to Hashem through Torah, then we have love not only for Hashem, but for other Jews as well. So that's what the author says here. When one feels a love for the Creator, because you feel a sense of unity with God, his exposed neshama will feel unity and love towards all Jews, and will come to a point of Ahavas Yisrael, because if your neshama loves God, and Hashem and Yisrael are one, then you will come to love others. So it reminded me of a story in the Rav Nathan Tzvi biography that I had to find, but I did find it. It's short, a really vignette. Rav Nathan Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shevracha, the previous Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Mir Yerushalayim, and who had tremendous ahavas Yisrael and empathy for other Jews. Rav Nathan Tzvi did not suffice with empathizing with orphans and widows. When a mere Talmud passed away, and he left behind, Rechman Hatzlan, a large family, Rav Nathan Tzvi called the widow and promised her that he was now the children's, quote, father. He told the children any time that they had something to discuss, they should write to him, the Rosh Hashiva, and he would write back. Sure enough, the children wrote letters to Rav Nathan Tzvi, and he wrote back to them in longhand. After a few of the boys in the family received his letters, Rav Nathan Tzvi received a complaint from the six-year-old girl in the family, who felt left out that she did not receive a letter also. Rav Nathan Tzvi took a piece of paper and wrote her a short note, adding a picture. He drew a heart to show that his heart was with the family. This girl, who is now married with a family of her own, still cherishes the note that has carried her through many a difficult moment. So such a gadol Torah, who has the weight of the world, the Olam HaTorah on his shoulders, who struggled with so many of his own health issues, with his debilitating Parkinson's and running Mir Yeshiva and growing to 7,000 Talmidim, and all the time he took for fundraising. And this little girl who was without her father felt left out, and she complained to the Rosh Hashiva. And he wrote her a little note, and he drew a picture of a heart This is, if you don't believe me, you could go look it up. Ravna Sansvi, Art Scroll Biography, page 421 to the top of page 422. If you didn't read this book, you really should. And he took a picture, a paper, he added a picture of a heart to show his heart was with the family. The girl has married with a family of her own, cherishes that note, which has carried her through many difficult times. So like the author says, if one feels a love for the Creator, with a sense of unity with Hashem, then certainly his exposed neshama will feel unity and love towards all Jews. If there is no Ahavas Yisrael, if you don't have love for your fellow Jew, there can only be conditional love. So it's not unconditional love, it's love with condition. But if you have unconditional love, you truly love all other Jews. It doesn't mean I agree with their path necessarily, but we love and accept them because they are Jews. Obviously, the concept of unity with the Creator cannot be explained rationally. It is a deep sense of the neshama. So love, true love, is felt in the soul vis-a-vis another human being, vis-a-vis Ahavas Am Yisrael, vis-a-vis Lahavda the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a deep sense of the neshama. So when I read this, because I guess Parsha is always on my mind, and what's happening next week's in that Parsha, in this Parsha, it reminded me of a pasuk in this week's Parsha, okay, in the beginning of Vayigash, when Yehuda launches into his soliloquy of why the viceroy, who do they not know, they don't know it yet, it is Yosef, cannot keep Binyamin. And the whole basis for the reason that they can't, that Yosef cannot keep Binyamin, is because Yaakov will die of pain if the brothers return with food, but Binyamin is not with them. And what Yehuda famously says is, "Va'ata kivoi el avdecha avi." When I come up, he's talking to the viceroy, who he does not know is Yosef. This is just moments before Yosef reveals himself. And it will be when I come up to your father, your servant, my father, "V'hanar einenu itanu." And the lad, meaning Binyamin, who wasn't such a lad, he had 10 children, all named after Yosef, but okay. The youngest in the family is always the baby in the family. And the boy is not with us. "V'nafsho kishua b'nafsho." He leaves his statement unsaid. He was saying, it will be if I come up to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, exclamation mark. And he leaves the rest unsaid. "V'nafsho kishura b'nafsho." His soul is tied up with his soul. And that's exactly what we just read here. You can't explain the concept of unity and love with the Creator rationally. It's a deep sense of the neshama. That is how we should feel, that our soul is intrinsically linked, kaviyachol, if you will, to Ribbono Shel Olam. Our nefesh is a chelek elokei mima. We are a part of Ribbono Shel Olam, however we can understand that. So I looked up in the Mikros Gedolos when preparing this year. And interestingly, I did not see, the commentators do not really comment on this statement of "v'nafsho kshuro b'nafsho." I looked at Rav Shem Sherfal Hirsch in addition, and I looked in Rabbi Dr. Twersky on Chumash, and I looked in Aleinu Shabech by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, besides for the Mikros Gedolos. And I really didn't see anything except for one teaching of the Baal HaTorah. And the Baal HaTorah was the Torah, the Rishon, and he says something that's very relevant. The whole premise of love for God, love for Israel, and love for Torah is that Israel, God, and Torah are all one. And you love what's part of yourself. So if I am part of Hashem, and we're also, every Jew is part of us, and Torah is part of us, and we're all intertwined in one big one unity, so then you have love for all of those things. You love Torah, you love Knesset Yisrael, and you love the Ribbono Shel Olam, come what may. You know, we don't jump out of the picture when the going gets tough, because if you're connected and you love someone, you stick by them through thick and thin. And we're supposed to stick by our fellow Jew through thick and thin. And we're supposed to stick by Torah, even when the going gets tough. We have a chiyuv, an obligation. It's our very life. And so too, vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have to stick by God, even when life throws us nisyonos. So what does the Baal Turim say on Keshua? Okay, by the way, did I say this? It's Perek Mem Dalet Pasuk Lamed. So Yehuda says, I can't go back. What will happen if I go to your servant, my father, the lad is not with me? V'nafsho Keshua b'nafsho. The souls are tied. His soul is tied with his soul. Yaakov's soul to Binyamin's soul. So very interestingly, the Baal Turim says Keshua, tied, intertwined, connected, like keshers are not. Very short, but I think very telling comment. The Baal Turim says, "Bigematria Torah." The gematria of Keshua is Torah. The gematria 611 of Keshua is the same as the word Torah. Shalaman mipiv Torah. So the Baal Shem concludes because Binyamin learned from Yaakov's mouth, he learned Torah. But it's so interesting. You see here the exact premise that we're trying to bring out. When are two souls connected to each other? They're connected through the bond of Torah. That's exactly right. Two souls of Yisrael are connected through Torah, which is part of themselves, and then ultimately the Torah connects us back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Benafsha kishur benafsha. What does the kesher come from? The connection between these two souls, the soul of Yaakov and the soul of Binyamin, it comes through a connection of Torah. So I was thinking something very interesting. We could take a little further. Kishura and Torah are the same gematria, the art school Baal Turim. This is the art school Baal Turim. Very short comment of the Baal Turim, but I like to look up in the art school also because there's footnotes that are often sometimes helpful. So the footnote says the gematria is 611. I didn't see any footnotes said anything else of relevance. No. But 611, so I was thinking that number brings to mind 613. Okay, as soon as you think of Torah, if you hear 611, you think 613. So Torah and Keshura are the same gematria. But what's missing is two numbers to get to the total of the mitzvos de'oraisa. So how do we make up the two? The two people themselves who are connected vis-a-vis their souls, who are connected because of a connection based on the kesher of Torah that unites us all. And what? How do we get to the final tally of 613 to complete the whole picture of Torah? Two more, that's me and you. That's Yaakov and Binyamin. It's Rabbi and Talmud. It's Mora and child. It's Rabbi and a member of the Kehila. So what binds our soul is Nafsho Keshura B'Nafsho, what binds the soul of every Jew, of Nasan Svi, sending a note and a picture of a heart, showing his heart is with the family, to a little six-year-old girl. What binds all of our souls is the fact that we are all united because Yisrael, Kedusha Brichu, and Oraisa, Chadhu. Our connection, our kesher, is through the kesher of Torah. The Keshura and Torah is 611. So how do you come to 613, the complete picture of Torah? The two people who are connected through Torah make up the two missing numbers. And then when we connect with one another, it's so interesting because I think almost all of my friendships and relationships with people are through Torah. K'nai Nahar, Baruch Hashem. I don't know. I have such a schus. I spend most of the week, most of the days of the week, evenings, teaching Torah, Baruch Hashem. You come to meet the people who learn with you. And you do form a kesher with people over Torah. And I find that the strongest connections and relationships in my life are those that are forged through Limud HaTorah together. You find common ground. It speaks to you. It speaks to me. We speak to each other. And the connection between Jews really is forged on Torah. V'nafsho k'shura b'nafsho, says the Baal Turim, k'shura and Torah is the same gematria. And we complete each other. So you have 611, and then how do you get to the total number, 613? The two people who are connected are one and two. And I'm saying that to all of you, because you're dedicated to the shir. You zoom in every week. My gosh. I remember the first year on teleconference when this happened back 10 months ago. And it's a connection that cannot be replicated or duplicated through other means, because Yisrael, Kedusha Bricho, and Oraisa Chadhu. It's the strongest forming of a kesher that we can possibly have. Torah is God. Hashem is Torah. All of Knesset Yisrael emanate from that. Yisrael stands for Yeshishi Rubio Osios LaTorah. Yeshishi Rubio Osios LaTorah. But every member of Knesset Yisrael is represented in another letter of Torah. One second. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So going back to the Sefer, obviously the concept of unity with the Creator cannot be explained rationally. You can't. Can you explain how you feel when you feel something? You know, even like last week it was snowing. It was beautiful. It was pristine. It was funny. I was davening the Hallelujahs, and I was mentioning the Shalag, and I was smiling because the Shalag does the will of the Creator, and it's such a beautiful thing. Could you tell someone? You could tell someone how it looked. Could you tell someone how you felt? Could you tell someone what it feels like to love? Could you tell someone what it feels like to be sad? Could you tell someone what it feels like to be happy? Could you tell someone what it feels like to see the grandeur of nature? So too, the concept of unity with the Creator cannot be explained rationally. You have to work on yourself to feel it. You can't explain it to somebody else. It's a deep sense of the neshama, which led us to talk about nafshik shur b'nasho. The more you realize this unity within, the unity between me, Knesset Yisrael, and Hashem. I don't know if anybody saw, I hope you saw that if it happened, you should know, a woman was killed in Eretz Yisrael on Sunday, 52-year-old mother of 6 children, Esther Horgan. She went out for a jog Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Shomron, and when she didn't return, her husband called the police forces, and a few hours later they found her. Her youngest child was 13, which means she had him when she was 39, and she just made a bar mitzvah 3 months ago. So all of Knesset Yisrael is connected. The more you realize this unity within, the more you will sense a love binding you to the Creator and to the Jewish people. So when you come to feel the unity within that can't be explained, you will feel, quote, a sense of love that binds you to the Creator and that binds you to the Jewish people. We're all connected. As we have said before, as long as a certain level has not been truly attained, you may not abandon it to advance further. So in other words, he's closing out this chapter saying, wait, be careful. As long as a certain level has not been truly attained, do not abandon it to advance to further level. That's something we've spoken of before. You can't just jump levels. If you haven't accomplished step A, don't think you could be by step D. The rush to progress too quickly reflects a kind of excitement about new levels, but not necessarily sincere search for growth. Furthermore, not only is it not sincere, it's hard to skip levels in anything in life. And it reminded me of something from last week's parasha, a beautiful idea that I must share with you. Everything's in the Torah. So in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Zayin of Parashas Mikesh, I'm just turning my chumash. Okay, so they call Yosef out of the pit. And my God, he's in jail. The Torah calls it a pit, reminiscent of the pit that his brothers threw him into. After 13 years, he's finally getting out of the pit. And he, Paro loves his interpretations. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky says something so interesting, just as an aside. Why was he so taken by Yosef? There's no one as Navon or Chacham Kamocha, Atati al Basi, al Picha Yisha Kol Artsi Kol Ami. There's no one like you. You're so godly, you're wise and discerning, you'll sustain the land. What did Yosef do? All the advisors and the astrologers and the magicians gave interpretations, and Paro didn't like any of the interpretations. Rashi brings down one advisor says, you will have 7 daughters and you will bury 7 daughters, right? 7 skinny cows swallow 7 fat cows, and 7 withered ears of corn swallow 7 plump kernels of corn. So everyone tells him something else. So the Midrash says that one said you will conquer 7 lands and lose 7 lands. One said you will have 7 daughters, Paro, and your 7 daughters will die. He didn't like any of the interpretations. And then the Sar Mashkim says, oh my gosh, there's someone in jail, Nar Eved Ivri Tanu, and he, Tishma Chalom, Liftar Oto, he can interpret dreams, and they rush him out of the pit. And Yosef says there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, and Paro should appoint someone wise and discerning, collect the food during the plenty to get yourselves through the years of famine. And Paro right away says, that's it, you're viceroy. Why did he love Yosef? He was a slave. He was a Hebrew. He was despised. He was a prisoner. This is who he's taking advice from. So Rabbi Dr. Tversky, I love his Torah, is so intuitive. And he says, the other advisors gave the interpretation to the dream. Yosef interpreted the dream and gave a solution. It's easy to identify problems. There's a problem with the school, there's a problem with the rabbi, there's a problem with the show, there's a problem with the business. It's so easy to be what we call a couch general and notice all the problems. It takes a visionary to say the problem is there's going to be 7 years of famine, but I'm going to offer you not only an interpretation, I'm going to offer you a solution. And Paro understood that Yosef was a visionary. More than that, Yosef was a doer. Yosef would get the job done, not just talk about the problem that was coming. They'll come up with a solution. It's a strong Mr. It's a very strong Mr. Haskell for us. It's so easy to identify the problems in life. It takes a great person to say, let's do something about this. Doesn't mean you'll always be successful. I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to you. But you have to at least try. It's not enough to say, I know what the problem is. Is there a solution? That was Yosef. Brilliant. Rabbi Dr. Tursky. Okay. So anyway, going to this Pasuk in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Zayin, it reminds me of how the author closes out this chapter. He says that you have to attain this level before you jump to the new level. Yeah, Shani, it's a beautiful insight. Rabbi Dr. Tursky and Tursky on Chomesh. Okay. So, precious Miketz. So, what I'm about to share with you now reminds me of what the author just said, that before you advance to the next level, you have to make sure you attain the previous level. We can't jump, you can't take huge leaps in anything in life, not in diets, not in losing weight, not in getting your PhD. You don't go from one day not having it to the next day having it. It's progress, it's steps, it's stages. So the Pasuk tells us in last week's parasha, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Mem Zayin, V'ta'as ha'aretz b'sheva shnei hasova l'kimatzim. The land produced in the 7 years of plenty. What is a kometz? Like by the Kohanim, they would scoop the flour up by kometz. What is it? The kimatzim, it means by like a fistful. And Rashi says, kometzim, handful. So I said fistful. Handful over handful. Listen to Rashi. Kometz al kometz. Fistful by fistful. Yad al yad. Hand by hand. Hayu otsrim. Did they store away? Okay. What's the Torah telling me? Why doesn't the Torah just tell me they stored away food? How does the Torah tell me they stored away food? Little by little. They had to amass enough food to get the entire Middle East, the civilized Middle East at that time, which included Mitzrayim and Canaan. If you look in the Pesukim, especially in this week's Parsha, tells you that the famine was not only Mitzrayim, it was in Canaan. They had to amass enough food to get them through 7 years of famine for the whole region to survive. When you look at that project, going back to Rabbi Dr. Tversky, most people would say this is impossible. You think I could amass enough food, as even if I'm wise, as discerning as Yosef. It's impossible. You give up. You throw in the towel before you even start. Not Yosef. Yosef understood something else. You know how you will see results? Fistful by fistful. Handful by handful. Yad al yad. Kometz al kometz. Little by little. Most people would say, well, one fistful of food, that's how much you have, I'm sure you. One fistful of wheat, of corn, of grain, that's going to help us. We have a whole country to sustain, and Canaan, our neighbor, for 7 years. Thousands, I don't know how many people lived in those days. Probably wasn't millions, I don't know. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. You think one fistful is going to help? I'm out of here, this isn't for me. Not Yosef. Yosef understood, step by step. Isn't that what we're trying to do in Avodas Hashem? Little by little, handful by handful. One little baby step after one little baby step. But at the end, they had enough food to sustain the region for all the years of famine. And the Ramban says the famine did not last only 2 years. It lasted the entire 7 years. The kimatzim. So when you look at a problem and you identify the problem and the solution seems to be too impossible, I can't possibly do it. Remember how Yosef stored up food. He understood that little by little ultimately yields great results. And when it comes to our Avodas Hashem, and it's a lifetime of work, working on these areas, how do we have to work on them? Not to become frustrated with ourselves, not to give up. Is Nancy here tonight? Not to lose our patience, forget other people, with ourselves. Little by little, step by step, comments all comments. Yad al yad. What's one yad going to help me for 7 years? You know what? It's going to help you if every day you take a little bit more and a little bit more. And Perek Tesvav of Bereshis, by the Brisbane Habsarim, in the introduction to the Brisbane Habsarim. So Hashem takes Avram Avinu outside. Vayetze oso hachutza. So the Pshali took him outside. The Drashi took him above the stars. Okay. Look at the heavens and count the stars. If you can count the stars, that's how your children will be. So what is that promise that God made to Avraham Avinu? It's right in the beginning of Perek Tesvav. Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Gimel. No, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Hey. So what does it mean that Bnei Yisrael are like the stars? So there's many different interpretations, but one of my favorites is Rav Elimelech Biderman. What was the koach of Avraham Avinu? If you would tell, take someone outside and say, count the stars. Maybe you've heard me say this before. It's one of my favorite Varlach of Rav Elimelech Biderman. They would say, it's impossible. I can't count the stars. You look at the sky, not when there's light pollution. Go to the Midbar Yehuda at night and look at the sky. You don't even know what it means, count the stars. If you saw the night sky, you'd say, I can't count the stars. I'm giving up. God said, Usparta kochavim. Why did Avraham Avinu do, says Rabbi Biderman? He started to count the stars. You know what Hashem said? Ko yezaracha. They will never say anything is impossible. They will do what they can do, little by little. One star, by another star, by another star. Komets al komets. Yad al yad. It looks so insignificant. One star, one handful, two stars, two handfuls. Ko yezaracha, like Avraham Avinu. His children will never say it's impossible because we understand we work step by step. I'm giving myself chizuk tonight. Little by little. Sometimes we're so impatient with ourselves. We want to see boundaries. What was it? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. We want giant leaps. Doesn't work like that in Avodas Hashem. Komets al komets. Ta'as ha'aretz, l'sheva shnei hasova, l'kimatzim. One hand at a time. Keep going. And interesting, Yosef is the only other, I shouldn't say that, to my knowledge, I could be wrong, especially of the patriarchs, biblical personality called Ivri. Avram was called Avram ha-Ivri. In Bereishis Perek Adal, I think it's Pasuk Yud Gimel. By the word of the four kings and the five kings, the fugitive comes, Vayavo Pali, Vayagay, Avram Ivri, the Yoshev, Lone Mamre. Yes, 14:13, Avram is called Avram Ivri. And Yosef is also called the Ivri. Okay? Until Yosef, Avram's called Ivri, and then we have Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then Yosef. They're both called Ivri for many different reasons. But what's interesting is they have the same trait. They demonstrate the same koach. Not only to identify the problem, but work through it little by little, step by step, star by star, fistful of grain by fistful of grain. That's how I, all of us, B'nai Avram, have to identify and look at the nisyonos that face us in life. That's how we have to look at our avodas Hashem. I can do it slowly. And I can do it. And then I'll be able to count the stars. And then I'll have enough food to sustain the whole region for 7 years. One step at a time. So the author says, the Mechaber says, make sure you attain your level before you move to the next one. So if we see slow progress, we shouldn't be frustrated. We should be gratified. If we see some progress, it might be slow, but it's there. May Hashem help us. Last line of the chapter, may Hashem help us to cleave to Him, dveikus v'Hashem, and to do His will forever. Okay. Chapter XX23. Removing obstacles to conditional love. The subtitle, subheading is, suffering hinders conditional love. It's true. When a person encounters suffering and difficulty in life, it's hard to see sometimes that Hashem is with us. Because when a person is suffering, just like you can't explain love and seeing the snowfall, you can't explain how you feel when a person is suffering, and it hinders conditional love. We explained before that to reach conditional love, you must feel that everything, and in my own sefer, I circled and underlined everything. Can you see? Everything. Circled, underlined, red pen. Everything comes from Hashem. Suffering can hinder conditional love and remove it from a person. So sometimes when a person is faced with suffering, Rahmana Litzan, it hinders that degree of love and it removes it from a person. Why? Because conditional love is dependent on Hashem's bestowal of goodness. I expect that God will do good things for me. I expect to have blessing in my life. I expect the script of my life to go the way I wanted it to go. Well, we all know Rabos Machshavos Believe Yishvatzas Hashem Hisakum. Hey, I think I said that in this year. Rav Elimelech Biderman says, Rabos Machshavos Believe Yish are the Roshei Tevos of Avram. Aleph, Beis, Resh, Mem. It's not in order. Rabos, Resh, Machshavos, Mem, Believe. Rabos, Machshavos, Believe, Ish. Yeah. Beis and Aleph. Those four letters spell Avram. That was before he became Avraham Avinu. The Atzos, Hashem, Hey, a Yediyah, Avraham. Avram learned and he transmitted to us that everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. K'shem she'mevarchem al tov, kach mevarchem al ra. So, however, if I have only conditional love, that's dependent on God giving me things that I want, things that I think I need, revealed blessing. What happens when Hashem stops bestowing goodness and, in fact, brings suffering to a person, Rachmana Litzlan? The cause for that love is now gone. There is even a motive for the opposite feeling. The opposite of love, the opposite of Ahavas Hashem. He doesn't even label it here. Because one may feel Hashem wants to harm him. You know, if you love me so much, Hashem, why are you doing this to me? So, Adarabba, the suffering might not engender more love, and might, God forbid, cause the opposite feeling. Now, certainly this is a misconception, but this is how it seems when one lacks the proper perspective. Going to quote a very powerful story from Reflections of the Maggid, Rabbi Pesach Kron, to illustrate this idea. Chesky Schoenig, sorry, I just moved the computer by mistake. Chesky Schoenig of Oak Park, Michigan, was a sweet, beloved 13-year-old boy adored by his parents, admired by his friends, and revered by his teachers in Yeshiva's Beis Yehuda. In the winter of 1996, he became ill. The doctors tried to contain the malady. They came to the conclusion that he was more sick than they thought. And in January 1997, they arrived at the grim diagnosis. Chesky had leukemia. He had had it as a 19-month-old infant. He was in remission for more than 10 years, and its reappearance was devastating. The news was a crushing blow to the close-knit Jewish community of Detroit. Tehillim was recited for Chesky in every shul and every school. The Schoenigs went to great lengths to research the disease. His parents were beside themselves with grief and agony, though they knew. One morning in shul, a man approached Chesky's father and said, "Don't worry, Elia, your son will be okay. He'll be cured." "What makes you so sure?" said Mr. Schoenig, wondering why the man was so confident. "Well, we say the pasuk every day in davening," said the man. "Ela barachav, ve'ela basusim, va'anachnu," it's from Lamatzech, it's where David, kapitel chav, "Ela barachav, they by chariots, ve'ela basusim, and they by horses, va'anachnu, as for us, b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir, as for us, we go out by calling out, by mentioning, by remembering the name of God." "We Jews live by a different set of rules," said this man. "Perhaps it would be hopeless for a different child, but not for your Chesky. Hashem cares for his children. Chesky will make it." For the rest of the day, Mr. Schoenig thought about that verse from Tehillim. By nightfall, he was convinced the man was right. Perhaps. It must be. That was the intent of David HaMelech's words. Jews have different standards and values. We have a spiritual life, an exalted way of living. Now Elia Schoenig knew his cherished Chesky would have a complete refuah. And a few months later, Chesky had his bone marrow transplant in Detroit. It came as no surprise to Mr. Schoenig. His son was doing better than anyone else. He repeated this pasuk to himself numerous times a day, convincing himself this was a temporary nightmare. Chesky would improve. Sadly, it was not to be. When Chesky returned from the hospital, new complications developed. Doctors, parents, and friends could only plead with their tehillims that God should spare his life. And on Friday afternoon in November 1997, Chesky Schoenig returned his soul to the Maker. Thousands attended the funeral. The community wept as one. His life was so short. And the haspedim, searing as they were, could not relieve the pain of his nearest and dearest. A few days after the Shiva, Elia Schoenig remembered that pasuk from Tehillim. Hadn't that pasuk assured him his son would be well? What happened to the encouragement it gave him? Had he missed something? For months he was haunted by the now enigmatic pasuk. What did it mean? At times he was angry. that his hopes can be built up. But regardless, he had to understand this verse. What had he misunderstood? And then one day, an idea struck him. David HaMelech was not describing battles during the war. He was describing what happens after the war. When a nation loses an armed conflict, it second guesses itself as it reevaluates its strategies and its tactics. And we're not only talking about a nation that loses an armed conflict. Everyone should think of a time in their life, maybe you never had this, I can't imagine, I don't know, where you regretted a decision that you made. I don't mean the kind of shoes you bought. I mean a real, like, important decision. And when we lose an armed conflict, or any battle with the Yetzer Hara for that matter, or any Nisayon, we second guess ourselves. We reevaluate our strategies and our tactics. And it's human nature to say, if only we had done this, the outcome would have been different. If only we had implemented different maneuvers. If only, then we would have been successful. Am I the only one who ever says that in my life? That is the meaning of Eila Baracha ve'Eila Basusim, some with chariots and some with horses. If only we had taken chariots. If only we had taken horses. If only we had gone by tank. If only we had gone with plan A. If only we had gone with plan B. If only we would have had a supreme riders. Eila Baracha ve'Eila Basusim, those people believe, if only we would have done it differently, the outcome would have been different. But Jews don't have that outlook. They don't look back. They understand if a battle was lost in life, whatever the battle, Rachman al-San, nobody should ever be in the situation that this story describes, this real life story describes. But we all have battles where we feel like we're not even getting a handful or a fistful or not even one star. But Jews have a different outlook. David HaMelech is saying that if a battle was lost, and despite our best efforts, it's because Hashem wanted it to be so. And so we say, Va'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. Eila barach, if those ones think they should have gone better chariots. Ve'eila basusim, those ones think they should have had better, faster, fancier, stronger horses. Then we would have won. Va'anachnu, it is a twist. It's a totally different way of understanding the pasuk. But what do we do? What's our mahalach? What's our hashkafa? B'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir. I did the best that I could, given the circumstances of my life. And the outcome's not up to me. We, in the name of Hashem, our God, we call it. And now, thought Mr. Shonag, the next verse in the capital fits purpose. The next verse in the capital fits perfectly. What's the next verse? Eile baracha ve'eile basusi ve'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir heima karu v'nafalu va'anachnu kamnu v'nisodad heima karu v'nafalu. They stumble, they fall. They cannot get back up in their iniquity, in their regret, in their if only we had better horses. If only. And so they stumble and fall. Because of their frustration and false perception that things could have been differently, hema karu v'nafalu, they slump, they stumble, they fall. Va'anachnu, it's the same anachnu, anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazkir, anachnu kamnu v'nis odad. But as for us, kamnu, we got up, v'nis odad, we were invigorated, because we Jews understand this is the way it was meant to be. And with our faith in Hashem's mercy and righteousness, we find the strength to continue with life. Right, Rabbi Krohn, is an extraordinary concept that should help countless others in their time of grief and tragedy. And not only in a time of grief and tragedy, but in a time of any nishayim. In a time when suffering may hinder conditional love. That's when we have to remind ourselves that everything comes from Hashem, everything. So keeping that in mind, suffering can hinder conditional love and remove it from a person. Conditional love is dependent on Hashem's bestowal of goodness. When Hashem stops bestowing goodness, and in fact brings suffering to a person, Rav Soloveitchik says, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. all of a sudden the cause for your love is gone. There's even a motive for the opposite feeling. Because one might feel Hashem wants to harm him, chas v'shalom. Certainly this is a misconception, but it is how it seems when one lacks the proper perspective. So if you want to love Hashem, you must make sure the suffering will never cause the love to stop. This is a very elevated madriga. And it's something that we have to work on, komets by komets. Maybe not you. Me? Komets by komets, yad by yad, kochav by kochav, fistful by fistful, hand by hand, star by star. Reference to the beginning of Shir, Avram and Yosef's understanding that in life and in Avodas Hashem, you can only accomplish slowly. So it's a constant avoda to make sure that when we are faced with nisyonos, and everybody knows life's nisyonos are difficult, you must make sure the suffering that you are facing will never cause the love to stop. And it's such a brilliant pshat of this pasuk. Even if this obstacle is removed, okay, so the suffering passed, the nisyon's over, even if, there's no guarantee you will attain love, but you should at least take this initial step of removing one of the obstacles that prevent love. So it's something we have to work on this. Eile barachav, eile basusim. Regret will not get me nowhere. And saying, if only I would have done it this way, would also get me nowhere. Why? Because we already said, Rabbi Smach was Blevish is Avram. Excuse me. Va'atzos Hashem Hisakum is Avraham. And Avraham reminds us that I could plan from today till tomorrow. Ultimately, it's up to Hashem. The first obstacle is mentioned that you must try to remove that prevents love is suffering. And says the author, you might have physical suffering, emotional pain, or financial trouble. And that sentence is very interesting in the time we're living through with the COVID pandemic. Because this past year, Klal Yisrael and the world has seen a healthy dose or an unhealthy dose of all three. People are physically suffering. I just saw tonight, COVID has reached Antarctica. There is now no country, or someone's nodding, yes. There is now no country or continent in the world that has not been affected. Some naval base or ship in Antarctica, they've tested positive for COVID. So we are definitely living in a year where there is physical suffering, there is great emotional pain. Whatever there was before has been exacerbated by this pandemic and the fallout of the pandemic, and financial trouble, Rahman al-Litzan. How many have been horribly affected? It is difficult to feel Hashem's love in these cases. And we don't do anybody a tova when we deny human emotion. Hashem made us this way. I always think of that when it comes to Yosef HaTzadik. If you notice, he's the biblical personality. There's so much to talk. I love Yosef. He's someone we could relate to. He's the Galus Jew who lives in a time of Hester Panim. Hashem never talks to him. He lives in Galus. He has to figure it out, how to remain faithful to the tenet of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Without guidance of yeshiva, without rabbanim, all on his own. The first biblical personality Hashem does not speak to. And he's living in Galus. And he cries a lot. Yosef spends a lot of time crying. He's going to the side room to cry. He's going to the closet to cry. Before the reveal, he cries 7-8 times. He's crying a lot. I think one of the things we learn from here is that a person can say, this is painful for me, Hashem, but I know it's from you. And that's the key to accepting our suffering with love. I told you, I'm telling myself tonight. This is very difficult for me, Hashem. It's difficult for me to be separated from my family. It's difficult that my brother sold me at 17. It's difficult that you put me in the house of Potiphar, and Mrs. Potiphar almost brought me to seduction, and he was very close. It's difficult for me to be languishing in prison for 12 years. It's difficult for me to have no contact with my father. Maybe my father was in on my sale. And he cries a lot, but nevertheless, shame shamayim, I can't believe the time. Nevertheless, literally, shame shamayim, shagur befiv. So the first obstacle we must remove that prevents us from loving God is suffering, because one might have physical suffering, emotional pain, or financial trouble. It is difficult to feel Hashem's love in these cases. Let's be realistic. For most people, hamon am, it's hard to say, wow, I feel an overflow of God's love for me, when we're facing significant nisyonos. How do we reach the level of kashem shemavarchem al hatov, kach mavarchem al hara? That is how we will leave it. To be continued next week. I hope everybody took some new, applicable, relatable, chizik-filled insights for the week ahead. We should have besoros tovos this week, and this year's a zchus for Aliyah Neshama from Miriam Fun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah Hashem, may her Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of the Torah that we share. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining our share this evening.